Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting.
Let's go! What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Thursday's show. Morning, studio!
Morning!
Okay, we had a big night last night. Got lots to talk about. We're rocking.
You promised a good show today.
No, I promised a terrible show because we had a concert last night. But I'm going to try my hardest. Let's go around the room. He sent a picture of himself in the Dallas Cowboys robe that Amy got him. She thought it was weird. He was just trying to be funny, but that's not how it appeared. It's Eddie!
Hey, you know what I did for the first time? And I'm not proud of it. I should have watched more of this. But I watched college women's basketball because this Caitlin Clark, everyone's talking about her. I was like, let me watch this. So I ended up watching the whole game of Iowa State. It's Iowa and LSU. Watched the whole game. And then Connecticut and USC played after that. I watched the whole game, too.
Oh, that's cool.
I am all in.
So first time you've watched a Caitlin Clark game?
First time.
Amazing, right?
She's really good.
She shoots from wherever she wants. She does and makes what I just would like to do at the playground, the gym. I don't go to the playground, by the way.
And they were, like, losing.
Good to hear.
They were down the first half, and then something. Dude, she had this look in her face. Like, just watch this.
Was it the look in the face that probably made them win?
For sure, because then she started drilling threes.
LSU beat them last year. LSU won the national championship. But, yeah, it's awesome.
And then these girls are so, so good.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I watch it with all my boys, and my boys are just like, Dad, why are you watching girls basketball? And literally 5 minutes later, they're like, they are so good. Yeah, these girls are awesome.
Really a transcendent time because they're so skilled. It used to be, well, they can't dunk.
That is what one of my boys asked, like, why are they not dunking? Well, like, they can't dunk.
Some can now, which is crazy. But I like college women's basketball way better than WNBA.
I haven't watched that yet.
I watch a decent amount of women's Arkansas college basketball because I know the coach. But I've appointment watched Caitlin Clark 4 times. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Amy, have you watched?
I mean, I know who she is, but my dad loved women's basketball. Like, he coached it at one point, like, back in the day when he was a teacher, like, way back. And he just always gravitated towards that. So he would always have it on.
That's cool.
So, and
hey,
I would find
she's
it
back. Caitlin Clark's back.
Where'd
what do you
go?
Mean?
Final Four, baby.
Oh, yeah. Final Four.
Yeah, it's like UConn. They didn't even look at her. They didn't recruit her. Just saying.
I know, but UConn's good, too,
UConn's
man.
UConn's awesome.
They're really good.
He says that, are you smarter than a celebrity contacted him to be on the show? But they wanted him to be a contestant, not the celebrity. He just didn't know. Lunchbox!
Yeah.
Bobby, it's not a lot of times I come to you for help, but I want to ask you a favor. I know you upgraded CPAP machines.
I think he asked me a favor about once a month and always goes, I never ask for favors, but I hear you. Go ahead.
And so you should have an extra one laying around. And my wife heard you talking about the CPAP machine. She was like, dude, you need to ask Bobby if you can have the one that he's not using anymore. Apparently, I've been waking her up in the middle of the night snoring for the past 2 months.
Pleasant snore, though.
Not bad.
Like, it's kind of hot. That's a hot snore.
Relaxing.
She's like, you've been doing that for like 2 months. And I never used to be a snorer. I never knew I snored.
Kind of turned on.
And so I want to know if I could borrow the one that you don't use to see if it works.
I got a couple things to say. Do you know what? Do you want to say it? Do you know what he wants to borrow? A CPAP?
Well, what I want to say is I think it takes a prescription.
Well, first it takes a prescription to get one, but I don't have a second machine. I'm changing out masks to find the right mask.
It's not the whole machine. It's just the mask.
Oh. Yeah, no. Yeah, I only have one CPAP.
But I think it's also dangerous to wear one if you don't need it.
Well, I don't know, man.
Do you hear that? Like, I don't know why all of a sudden am I snoring.
Don't play it again. I'll get turned on.
Stop. What?
If I could get a black market CPAP machine, I would get one.
Oh, really?
All it is air and take, you know, that it sends into your mind is my nose nonstop because my throat would close up when I was sleeping. That's about keeping your mouth shut. Do you sleep wide open mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's what's probably happening. Your air blockage.
Yeah, I don't know how to stop that, though. That's part of the reason Vegas allergies get me.
I hear you. Let me recommend this. And if you do it, I think it'll be weird for a second. But if you tape your mouth shut with the sleep tape, I did that first. It did affect me in a positive way. And I'll wear the tape with the CPAP some, too. And it's not tape like Scotch tape or the silver tape. But if you get some sleep tape and tape your mouth, you can still breathe through your nose. And it'll keep it through your nose. Your throat won't. And you won't snore.
And when I heard lunchboxes, if you tape your mouth even during when you work and stuff like that, that helps, too.
Oh, yeah. We can do that during the show. Tape your mouth shut. Out.
You know what I mean?
No, but seriously, if you do, tape your mouth.
And then when you get something to pry Eddie's nose open... So he's not at
home. That's a good comeback. I like it. Not good nasal. Try sleep tape, honestly.
All right.
I think it'll help. All right, let's move on. Sometimes she gets really in the zone and she even forgets to turn on her microphone. It's Amy!
I started Manhunt on Apple Plus.
Manhunt's the Abe Lincoln show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all recommended it, right?
Yeah.
Somebody did here, I think.
Eddie did.
Okay, I really like it. I was almost going to stay up to continue an episode. Like, that's how much I wanted to know what was going to happen
next.
It's
a big deal.
And that is on a weeknight. I normally am pretty strict about, okay, it's bedtime, got to go. And I was like, oh, just 5 more minutes. Oh, just 5 more minutes.
How many of you watched? Because only 3's out right now.
Yeah, well, I guess I've watched into the 3rd one.
Okay. And really, it's about Abe Lincoln, but it's really the story of John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
And conspiracy theory of, but like, an educated one, not one where they're just making it up. Like, there was a Abe Lincoln versus vampire movie at one point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever that was.
Abe Lincoln, the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, whatever that is. It's not that. It's not that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's, I thought, gosh, I wish I would have learned this way in school.
Watch movies?
Or docu-series, like a scripted or acted series. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's like a docu-series, it seems, but scripted. And I'm sure some liberties have been taken. Who knows?
Well, because they won't know the conversations that have happened in rooms. Right. They'll know the outcome because of them. But, like, the first one for me that I learned, I like learning from, there was a movie. And I think because I learned, it made the movie a little better, was Amadeus about Mozart.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should watch that. So you never seen it.
It's kind of boring.
I haven't seen it in, like, forever. But I remember watching Amadeus and going, you know what? I don't hate this as much as I should. And I actually learned about Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the acted versions of things. I just need to say based on a true story, you know?
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan for me was the one where I learned about World War II.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but
Bill and Ted, isn't that the one where they...
Bill and Ted's is awesome
for
learning.
That's true.
You know, not the same because they're not portraying a real event. Excellent, though, for parents that have young kids, like 9-year-old kids.
Beef oven!
So, Amadeus, real quick, came out in the 80s, and it got an 8.4 out of 10 as far as a movie in Rotten Tomatoes.
I never even heard of this.
It's an older movie. You would chase, but
I'm not going to go.
It's Mozart.
Add that to our movie cinema.
I might add one to mine.
Yes.
No, it's a good movie. The other one, what was the other one that's mentioned? Not Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. He said Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan.
I
learned a lot on that one.
Yeah, me too. You know what? I went to the theater. They showed me the end first.
Yeah.
They showed the end of the movie.
Well, that's not
accidentally
good.
And they're like, oops, we had the wrong.
That's not good.
That's terrible. I saw that one with no teeth, Keith.
It's unbelievable.
Kid.
Yep. Do you like war?
You want to save me, kid?
You want to save?
Oh, and the guy that's in Manhunt, the guy that's playing Booth, he was also in the Flyboy one. I'm calling it Flyboy One. It's about the 100th Bomber Group.
Anthony Boyle?
Airman.
Booth. I knew, just for like fun fact, but I wouldn't have known he was like a real actor. Like, I mean, like, Booth was like a real dude.
A stage actor, yeah.
Yeah.
That was famous.
Yeah.
Lunchbox, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, great reference. Not a true story about two kids who go back in time in a phone booth, but you do learn about a lot of historical figures because they're going to meet these people for a report. So you learn about Genghis Khan, mm-hmm. who's probably much nicer in the movie than real life. But also,
Billy the Kid.
Beethoven, which is Beethoven, uh-huh. Billy the Kid,
Socrates.
Joan of Arc, Socrates. Socrates. So that's a good introduction to all of them.
Abe Lincoln, they're all in the phone booth.
Actually.
Four score and 7 minutes ago.
Raymundo, hit me.
From Mount Pine, Arkansas, he's a doctor of letters, not an actual one. So when it comes to medical terms, he doesn't know a ton. Bobby Bones.
Thank you very much. Hey, by the way, I'm teaching for a couple days next week.
Oh, you are?
At the University of Arkansas. So, and I do believe they have, I won't enforce this, but because I have an honorary doctorate, that they have to call me doctor.
Dr. Bones?
What?
Or Dr. Bobby?
Your real last name?
Nah, you can't do that.
No, I don't, just doc.
What's up, doc?
But I will be teaching for a couple days on campus. They were like, would you come and teach like media, storytelling through media, stuff like that? And I was like, yeah, sure. So
like, what's your syllabus?
I don't know. We talked about this and I don't remember.
So does the professor, are they in the room or they take 2 days off?
What do you mean, man? He is the professor.
Wait, I think I go in.
You haven't planned your
agenda? You want to hear my agenda?
Yeah.
This really wasn't what I was going to talk about, but I can. Okay, so Monday, I do the show, fly to Fayetteville.
No, your classroom agenda.
I know. I'm just looking at my list.
Yeah, we don't need
not your schedule.
He's like, eat breakfast.
Okay. Go to the bathroom.
I have some meetings that night. I have at 10 something after right after the show multimedia storytelling with us. It's a senior class.
Ooh, that's a big deal.
There's a media and society class that I'm teaching at 12:30.
Oh, you're teaching multiple classes.
Oh yeah, over multiple days.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Is this for like?
Then I'm throwing out the first pitch that night though at the baseball game.
Whoa.
And then I am teaching TV news, so it's not really news reporting, but it's how news is being done now. Like okay. Media.
I was going to say, tell them not to talk like this.
It says, and student media. Yeah. Okay. And then I have lunch with the athletic director. He's probably going to ask my advice on the new coach. Then I go to the Faulkner Center. Then I lecture. I do a lecture for 300 kids, and then I fly home that night.
So will your stuff be on the test, like at the end of the year exam?
I hope not.
Oh,
because I'm just gonna raw dog it.
Good. You raw dog it.
Beethoven. That's my report.
So great.
Yeah. So I'm gonna teach a couple days next week. I'm excited to do it.
You should hit him with a pop quiz right at the top.
That'd be such a jerk thing to do. It's like the substitute teacher who's like a little too in control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, you need to chill out, dude. Like, you, what, like you, they usually were like old athletes that played like double A ball for, and then they came in and were like, I'm the sub now. You'll listen to me. All right. You ever get in trouble with subs, Lunchbox? I feel like that'd be your thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You just challenge them immediately.
Just challenge them immediately. See if they're going to be cool or if they're going to be one of the jerks that's going to kick you out of class. It's so fun. Sort of like a sub bus driver.
Oh, I wouldn't challenge that one. They're driving you.
They're in control, man.
Dude, you just tell them you're going to the wrong school. I mean,
Oh,
dude, one time in middle school, we told him we went to the high school, and we were driving this dude all over, and at one point he said, we were in the neighborhood still, and he was like, do you want to get off the bus? We were like, no, we don't want to get off the bus. What are you doing? Then we drove him to the high school, and he pulled up. He's like, there's no way you go here. And we made a U-ey in the middle of the road.
I knew you'd be that guy.
That's illegal. That's illegal. And he said, do you guys want to get off the bus? And we were like, actually, yeah, we do. And we got off the bus in the middle of the city. And
the city?
Yeah, we were like...
Like downtown?
2 miles from school. And we just got off the bus. And he went to school and only like...
But you did that.
No, he told us, you want to get off the bus? You want to know how stupid he was to just let us off the bus?
He was trying his best, man.
He probably just had it, and he's not trained to be a substitute. I mean, a real teacher hasn't developed the patience.
Driver.
He's got idiot. Yeah, dude, bus driver. That's even not a teacher.
Imagine that. But then there was like 5 kids that stayed on the bus. Like, come on, guys. What are you doing?
You thought everyone's going to get off?
Yes.
Wait, let's get... Oh.
Yeah,
scabs?
Yeah, like,
what?
Oh, I don't want to get in trouble.
Hey, and he wonders why he doesn't win the lottery. It's all karma,
so
dude.
Much.
It's all karma.
So much bad karma. Let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. My husband and I just went on a flight with our kids. I'm so embarrassed because my husband took off his shoes in flight because his feet were hot. I'm sure others around us were disgusted. Because I was. What if everyone removed their shoes and socks mid-flight because of the heat? I can't imagine the smell. My husband doesn't think anything's wrong with that. I told him it's not good etiquette, especially on a 3.5-hour flight. What do you all think? Can you remove your socks and shoes on a flight like this? I told him never again and that I was going to email you. I listen to you whenever I get a chance. Love you guys. So entertaining. Signed, wife to the barefoot flyer.
He took his socks off too?
Ooh. Socks and shoes. Long flight. Hot day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's tricky.
Yeah.
I don't mind somebody just pulling their shoes off if they have socks on.
Correct.
I don't mind somebody, if they're wearing flip-flops, pulling their feet out of their flip-flops as long as they don't put them on things. That's fine, too. But it's the double layer because if it's hot in the sock, it's sweaty, it's gross. But if it didn't stink, just because it's gross doesn't mean it bothered other people. It also, the proximity he's setting towards sitting with someone he doesn't know, all that factors in. But I'm going to go, if it's hot and you're wearing shoes and socks, you can only go shoe.
That's so gross.
But if you're wearing flip-flops or any kind of sandal and you're wearing no sock, you can definitely kick them off. Just don't put your feet on things. That would be my official stance. Amy?
Yeah, we need to have some sort of coverage, I think. So maybe a way around it as the wife, like she could say, hey, I just read an article that you should always wear compression socks when flying. And
he's like, well, it's hot.
Get compression socks for him because that's going to be better for his overall health and well-being.
Then Carrie's hot.
He's would you want to
pull the socks off?
Do you want to die?
Well, wow. How'd you go with that?
Okay.
Shouldn't the airline have a rule? Like, what's the airline rule? Like, no.
There isn't. I guess keep your pants on.
Yeah.
That's a good rule.
Keep your pants and your shirt on. But I don't think there's a rule on feet because sometimes people will put on Southwest, you get the front seat, you put your feet up on that front wall.
Ugh.
That's always kind of gross.
Yeah.
I would just say you can remove one layer. That's it.
I got a question. Does it even make a difference if you take your shoes off? Taking the sock off doesn't make a difference because the sock stinks. If your foot stinks, the sock stinks. So it doesn't
Mine's
make a
difference. About smell, totally, I guess. I'm not thinking about smell. I'm thinking about sweat, the sweaty grossness of it all. If your feet stink, period.
Yeah, it's
you
got to
leave
smell.
Everything on.
Yeah.
Because I understand taking the shoes off because your feet swell, the shoes are tight, you know what I mean? Like, you want to get them some room, wiggle those toes.
Case in point, my feet never swell. The compression socks.
My feet don't swell, and I fly all the time.
Yeah. Your whole body's swelling.
I guess I take my shoes off, though. I'm going to be honest with you. I take my shoes off.
There you
one
go.
One layer.
I do, and I don't wear, I wear flip-flops, or if it's, yeah. One layer is all I can do. Because everybody else is going to be grossed out by a bunch of sweaty feet. So one layer, that's your compromise. I stand by it. The airlines do not have a policy, by the way.
They should. Just to clarify, just to make it one rule. Don't take your shoes off.
Like just one layer. You can pull off one layer of the feet. All right, that's the mailbag. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Forbes put out their richest celebrities list. I mean, I'll tell you the celebrity name. It's not to me so much about the money, but name what they do.
Okay.
Some of these are very easy, obviously. And she just became a billionaire for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't see the story?
No.
Taylor Swift. Oh, you act like you knew it. She's like, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to name the celebrities and I was going to guess.
Taylor Swift.
Okay, got it.
What did she do?
She is a singer-songwriter.
Got it. Yeah.
But it was a big story in the last couple days that she's now a billionaire.
That's crazy,
dude. First time.
Unreal.
No, and she's worth $1.1 billion, age 34. Dick Wolf.
I don't know what he does.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Quite the last name.
Is he
the last name
together?
Is he a movie star?
No, he's Law and Order.
Yep.
Film and TV producer.
Oh, and he's a billionaire from Law and Order?
$1.2 billion. He made, he made those shows.
I guess it's a really long-running show.
Age 77.
Wow.
Magic Johnson?
Oh, basketball?
Basketball, but really made a lot of money in business after. Like, he owns part of the Dodgers.
Investor.
Owns now part of what other team just bought? Football.
Just bought, gosh, I remember this.
Commanders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is in what? Where, Amy? The Commander.
Just about to ask you.
Washington.
I met him when he was opening up the W Hotel in Austin.
You met him?
Yeah, it was a press conference.
Did you shake his hand?
I mean, kind of. I mean, he was right there.
We interviewed him. I know. Did you shake his hand?
No, I didn't shake his hand. No.
I met him. I got a picture with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was in the crowd when I went to see the Tina Turner musical.
Is it one of those, though, where you got a picture with Diddy and he's like 10 feet behind you?
Or did
you
get a real literally, picture? I would look back and he is in the regular crowd, and I was like, man, I got to go. And my wife's like, you cannot go.
That's awesome.
And I went and got a picture with
him. You have it?
Yeah.
That's a cool picture.
It's kind of blurry. and dark.
We still have it.
I'm jealous, though. I'm jealous. That's a cool one.
Yeah.
$1.2 billion. LeBron James.
Basketball.
Mm-hmm. Worth $1.2 billion. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods.
Golf.
Mm-hmm. $1.3 billion. He's at number 10.
$1.3 billion.
Yeah. I can't even fathom that.
No.
Like, if you say $1 billion and $2 billion, like, to me, there's no real difference in how I know that money and what I could do with it differently.
Man, someday.
But if I said $500 million or $1 billion, even that, you're like, one's more than the other, and that sounds cooler that it's more, but it doesn't function in my brain like, oh, this is what I could do if I had the billion instead of the 500 million.
Right.
Because it's all such a fairy tale. Rihanna?
Artist and makeup entrepreneur.
Most of the money is from being a businesswoman, Fenty.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
$1.4 million. Tyler Perry at number 8.
I mean, all kinds of things. Actor.
Director.
Writer.
You like Madea?
I love Madea. Hallelujah.
$1.4 billion.
Wow.
It's 54. Peter Jackson.
Oh, Peter.
Him and Dick Wolf hang out a lot.
Yeah. Is he a writer?
I don't know what Peter does.
He is Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, King Kong, the director. Yeah. $1.5 billion.
Wow.
Age 62 years old, lives in New Zealand. $1.5 billion.
Mm. Wow. Is he the one that did the Beatles documentary, Mike? Okay.
He did. He made most of his money from his visual effects company because he sold a portion of it off and, again, directs all these major movies. Kim Kardashian.
I mean, entrepreneur.
Yeah. $1.7 billion. Jay-Z.
Artist.
Mm. I wonder what's happening with Jay-Z. I wonder if he's linked to the... I don't know this, but... Like, I don't know. Oh. Jay-Z and Diddy, close.
Oh.
They were together a lot, but...
Jay-Z's probably like, not anymore.
I wonder, cause some of the theories... And I don't believe these theories for the most part, and they're crazy. But, you know, people like Diddy or Jeffrey Epstein, the idea that a lot of people have is that they were actually working for, like, a group, CIA, government. Then they would get other high-profile people to do the illegal stuff, and they had video, and they could then... They had them.
They could bust them?
No, not to bust them. They could blackmail them or leverage them to do whatever they needed to do.
Okay, I see that.
You do?
I mean, yeah.
Which is why, hey, listen, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. You're telling me those guards were just gone and that video just wasn't working the one time? So who was trying to get rid of Jeffrey Epstein so that didn't come out?
Yeah, I don't think
not that... Not a big conspiracy guy, though.
Not at all.
Certain people in our government, I would not put it past them.
Assets, and they... Okay, you do this, you get all this information, all these high-profile people, then we own them.
Hmm.
But
I wonder if Jay-Z, because they were together a lot, I wonder if... It's going to come out that he's involved or not.
You know what? This really sucks, though, because you're using this method to blackmail these people to get whatever you want done in the world. And
but that's just a
these
theory.
Victims are just left with these horrible scars.
It also is just a theory.
Wounds.
Yeah,
but there's got to be stuff like this happening or this theory would never happen. Not even the specific instance. Like, this has got to be happening.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, at what cost? Yeah. You know?
Money. So the people don't care when it comes to a ton of money or power.
No, but I mean, I see how... Yeah, true.
Even with war, like, you're going to kill other people. And it's for a cause and an idea.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. Oprah Winfrey.
Talk show host.
$2.8 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, $2 billion? Almost $3
billion. Number three is Michael Jordan.
Basketball.
Who makes so much money still from the Jordan brand.
Oh, dude.
He's made almost $2 billion from the Jordan brand. Number two, Steven Spielberg.
Director.
$4.8 billion.
Whoa.
Wild. $4.8 billion.
These guys are so rich.
And not even that I could spend $4.8 better than I could spend $3.2. I guess I'm just surprised he's at two of the famous people.
These guys don't drive anywhere, right? Like, they don't drive themselves.
Unless they
Tiger does.
Unless they really want to.
It's true.
They don't have to drive, but they may want to drive if they like driving or like the cars.
I would never drive again.
Number one is George Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Director. Or producer? Director?
Director, yeah. Sure. I'm sure all that was that. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right? Was the first original. $5.5 billion. Richest celebrity, thanks to his part of the production company Lucasfilms, which he sold to Disney in 2012 for more than $4 billion in cash.
Wow, in cash. That was in a briefcase.
No, that's not how that works.
That's not it.
Sound fun, huh? How many briefcases would that take?
Just one big one. Just give me one big one.
Just a dump truck?
It's like us and the Lions.
And the Lions at my house the other day.
When you really start to think about money, it's so weird.
It's so
because
awesome.
It's not even a real thing. It's just digital, and we just go... Digitally, it says you have this, so we go with it.
And this is the value we're assigning to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's weird.
And then...
But it's all... But
it's how it works.
How it works. Better than trading out pelts. You know what I mean?
What? What are pelts?
This is old school.
A pelt would be like you kill an animal.
Yeah, the fur. The skin.
The fur. Got it.
Thank you. The skin fur. And that would be a
way of value. Yeah. Like cocoa beans back in the day.
I didn't know they traded cocoa beans for money. Like cigarettes in jail.
Currency. It's like a Shawshank.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
Olivia Porter is 19 years old from Michigan, and she used to love to read even when she was a little girl, and she would always go to a bookstore called Beloved Books in downtown Linden, Michigan. Well, she just found out that the bookstore, after 21 years in business, is closing. So what does Olivia do? She goes to the owner, says, come on, please, we got to save it. The owner's like, look, I'm done. I'm retiring. It's over. And Olivia says, can I buy it from you? And the owner goes, you know what? Just give me a dollar and it's yours. So now Olivia is now the new owner of the bookstore and is taking it over. She's going to keep it going forever for $1.
Dollar.
Is that a technicality?
Yes, there has to be a transaction. Monetary. And also, he's probably going to retire and just like not make any. I think it's not like she just won a lottery for a dollar. Now she has to manage her bookstore.
Yeah, she has to like do the ins and outs and the books and order which ones are popular. It's nice going to be a lot harder.
Hey, but here's the deal. Like, so the gym right down the street from my house is shutting down. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, should I go over there and offer a dollar to get this
Well,
gym?
But you may not. They may have had to lease a space. Mm. And they can't pay enough money for the space. So they're moving out. So you can lease all you want, but there are all these other factors too.
Oh, okay.
But I like, this is a good story.
It's a great story.
No, but Eddie's going to go get him a gym. Or he's thinking about it.
Well, $1. I'll offer $1.
Go make $1 offer. See what happens.
Okay.
I like him. I like that he did that. I like her. I like that she's reading like that. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a generational trivia game. It's Elder versus Millennial. Lunchbox the Elder will answer questions about Swiftie Lauren's generation. She's the young one. He's the old one. Lunch, I'm going to introduce you first. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Up first, he's the captain of cringe who claims all he does is win. Money is his obsession. And his prom king crown from high school is his most prized possession. It's Lunchbox!
Yeah.
Lunchbox, here you go. If you miss it, she'll steal.
Nah.
Who played Allie in The Notebook in 2004?
Rachel McAdams.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Woo! Good job, dude. What was the title of the very first Harry Potter book released in the 2000s?
Ooh, Harry Potter, first one. Sorcerer's Stone.
Correct.
Oh, are you serious? Oh, my. I've never. Okay,
you have to stop being surprising.
No, you did watch it. You did watch it.
Is
you
that
what? Yeah, we watched it.
Lunchbox.
But it was a movie. I didn't know it was the same book. I don't know. Whatever.
What music subgenre defined in the 2000s with bands like Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, and Paramore? What music subgenre that was defined in the 2000s had bands like Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, and Paramore?
Pop punk.
Incorrect.
What?
Lauren, you can steal.
Is it emo?
It's emo, correct.
Wow!
So I was thinking punk too, though, but yeah.
Dang, I gave that to you.
Okay.
You would have guessed
good job on those two, though.
Dang.
Those two ones. Yeah, good.
All right.
We'll go over, and she's our youngest on the show. Let's introduce her now. We call her Swiftie Lauren because she loves Taylor Swift, and she's getting married real soon, and you guys better get her a good gift. Hello! Her intro, I made that up.
That's
good, dude.
Yeah, I couldn't find her intro. I don't know.
Wow,
good.
Oh, we have another one. She's our youngest producer, in elder knowledge. She's quite clever, and she hopes Taylor and Travis last forever. It's Swiftie. Hey! You got two there for the prize of one. It's a BOGO. You know what that means?
Buy one, get one. Yeah
no points, but good job. Ready? Ryan Seacrest hosted the first season of American Idol. Lauren, with what other person?
Ryan Dunkelman.
Incorrect. Lunchbox.
Ryan, it rhymes with Ryan. It's Brian Dunkelman.
Brian Dunkelman.
Dang.
Had you just said Dunkelman, you would have got it.
No.
Kidding me? I was so...
Yeah.
All right, I'll come back.
Lunchbox, 1 point.
Yes.
Brian Dunkelman. Good job. By the way, Lauren's up 2-1. Or Lunchbox is up 2-1 in the series.
Yeah.
Here we go. Lauren, this 90s slang phrase is used for expressing strong disagreement. It's a term popularized by the movie Clueless in 1995. The best definition for this phrase could be, I very much doubt it.
Where he said?
This 90s slang phrase, which was popularized in the movie Clueless.
Yes.
1995.
Love the movie.
If I were going to define what the phrase meant, it would be, I very much doubt it. What is the slang phrase?
Phrase. I love this. Is like, honestly, like, probably one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. It's a phrase they say, and if you were gonna define it, it would mean I very much doubt it.
Like,
as if,
correct.
How is that? Oh, I did not know that's what you were trying to say, but like, when she's saying, like, I doubt something. Like,
a yellow card. Swiftie Lawrence first ever yellow card.
We're
getting a little lippy after a question.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Hey.
And I was thinking that, but I didn't think that's what
you were
trying to say.
Hey, Lauren, you're probably going to win this.
Like, as if.
All right, one more.
Dang.
What?
I wanted her to get that one.
She did.
He is such a dude.
He's a hater.
Dude.
Which online map service, Lauren, was used before GPS devices were handy and was often printed out by users?
MapQuest.
Correct.
Dang. Don't matter.
It don't matter.
It
don't matter.
I'm so mad at myself.
3-1. Let's go. Woo! I admire that you're looking to change something that you've done your whole life. Tell the guys what you want to change about yourself.
Well, okay. You know how you always say to people, hey, how are you? And you may say it to
How's it going?
Your best friend, or you may say it to the person checking out at the grocery store.
Like, mostly how are you is not really asking how they are. It's like going, I'm standing here in front of you and I need to say something to seem polite, so I'm going to say these words.
Mm. It's a default.
Sure.
I think my goal is to not rely on my default, and I want to say other things instead that maybe add more depth.
So, okay, but I like your example of checking out at the register. What would you say to somebody at the register?
Well,
You got to have something.
Okay. That's got to be
right.
hard.
Well, I'm going to go over the list of things because I went ahead and I Googled it because this is clearly a thing. And I looked up, like, what can I say instead of this? Okay.
So this is not going to be a checker then. This is going to be somebody you know, middle to close.
You can decide how you want to use
it. Go ahead. Go, instead of how are you, or how's it going, she's going to say,
like, hey, I'm thinking about you.
But have
what?
You?
What?
You've been thinking about the person at the register?
Like, as soon as you walk up, hey, I've been thinking about you. Let's take the register out. This is going to be a generic person that you know. But maybe you don't hang out with all the time. I've been thinking about...
Right, I've been thinking
weird.
About you.
Okay.
Okay, oh, all right. What about, how have you been sleeping?
Oh, my God. How that's the first sleeping? Thing you say to me? Because remember, this is the initial greeting.
Okay, or just, you know, you could... Maybe bizarre. It's the initial.
Yeah, it has to be the initial, because that's when you say, how's it going?
Okay, go well, ahead. I'm picturing you could still be having a conversation. Right. Okay, what's the favorite thing you did this week?
That's not an opener. That's something you could do as an icebreaker or like a...
What have you been up to this week?
That's how's it going. But still, that feels weird, too. Like, why are you worried about this week? I don't even know you, lady.
What's the... Okay. All right. What did you... What do you...
Why are you stuttering? You're only committing more. She's already stuttering because she knows there's no way she's changing this.
Okay. What do you do today?
Why are you so... That just feels like it's a bit invasive.
Okay, I'm trying to be casual.
Okay.
Any special...
Oh, God. Whoa, what's this one?
Uh-oh. Okay, casual. Be casual.
If I go like, hey... Amy, okay. Person I know, but kind of, what's up?
Any special thoughts today?
Oh, God.
What?
So far, every single one of these things. Okay,
I would be caught so off guard. Okay. I'd be like, what are you talking about?
I've been looking forward
to... How special?
To,
are you coming on to me? That's what I think. Go ahead.
I've been looking forward to talking to you.
But we only see each other like once a month at work in the hallway.
Anything you're looking forward to?
Are you a robot?
Yeah, you walking away.
Is there something I can do for you?
Okay, now you're really...
No, you can't do that.
None of these work.
The final suggestion. I want to do...
What? Want to do...
Drugs?
Want to do some...
Whoa, no.
Want to do some what?
Want to do some self-care together.
As the first thing you say to somebody?
Yeah, I'm out.
Like, or just, instead of just saying, how are you? Like, you can say this, like, take your relationship to the next level.
I'm not trying to take every relationship to the next level. And I say, how are you to people I have no interest in having a relationship with on the next level. Yeah. That's just a hello.
I don't know.
Even if I get an elevator. And if I feel like we're going to have a, hey, how's it going?
The internet isn't always right.
But you were committed to this like 15 minutes ago. Hey,
and I think we should let her do it still.
Well, because I had only read them. It hits different when you say it out loud. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, especially...
What would I say? If I had to change up, how's it going? Because that's my general. How's it going?
How's it going?
Let's say I walk into an elevator. I was an allergist. I get shots every week. And I walk in. There's always somebody in the elevator. And I always say, hey, how's it going? What would I say that would be different? Hold on. Let me think of this. I walk in.
How's it going?
I can't be specific because it could be elevator. It could be a hallway. It could be Luby's cafeteria line. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yours has to be a quick in and out.
I'd be like this. What a day it is.
What are you, like 90 years old?
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know. There's no other way. How's it going? It's the only way you can go.
It is.
Well, what about?
It's universally accepted.
What if it's you just say, I like your shirt.
I usually go weather. Like, beautiful day outside.
That's 90-year-old dude.
Beautiful day outside.
That's small talk.
Right?
You can do that. That's small
talk. Because they're just going to say, like, it sure is. All right. See you later.
So, to a stranger on the elevator, you can't say, tell me something you're looking forward to today.
I was really hoping, like, I never met him before, and I'm like, you want to do some self-care together? See if they were into that one.
Any special thoughts
I'm
going
to say you're not changing. It's too awkward for
we'll
you
see.
To change.
I'll
no,
try.
We'll see. I know we'll see. We'll see.
Well, Lunchbox could test these out with his little hidden microphone.
No, we already know they're going
to
be weird.
No, he goes to the grocery store and he can say any special thoughts.
That'd be so.
Send those to me, Amy.
The cops will be called.
I'll send them to you. Okay.
Tomorrow on the show, Luke Bryan in studio as part of the Friday morning conversation. Woo. We love Luke. Tuesday of next week, Sam Hunt's in.
Oh, cool.
As part of Ray's so excited.
Yeah! He perked up.
It's Ray's hero. Ray, your favorite song of all time in history of songs, period?
Downtown's Dead, Sam Hunt.
See, that's how much he loves
Downtown's
Sam Hunt.
Dead, okay.
That's the Ray's Beatles. So, we got a good one. The Bob
Bone Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
There's a new online gift registry trend, and it is for people that are going through a divorce.
I'd like to say, before everybody starts to get the little butt hairs in a twist, that you never have to do anything in anyone's registry. You know, there was one where Lauren's like, hey, house fun. Lauren, who works on the show, Swiftie Lauren.
She's getting married.
She's getting married. She's like, you can buy me this from the registry, or you can just donate money and we're going to try to buy a house. And she's not saying pay part of the mortgage. It's like $50, $20, $100.
It all adds up.
And I have no problem. If you tell me, you walk this horse to water, I'm happy to drink. Easier for me. If I'm going to spend the money, I'd rather be on something you like. So everybody can go, I choose not to do that if they want to. So I know, again, people are going to be like, I haven't heard of divorce, whatever the stupid thing is.
Registry.
But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, the idea is that people are obviously financially vulnerable at the time of a split, and they're losing typically half of everything they have, including like stuff in the kitchen, and they might need it back.
Oh, this is Amy. Yeah,
she feels this.
Hey, she's slow rolling hers.
She wants, yeah.
Next week, she's like, you know, that story actually inspired me.
No.
I have no problem with it. Will I donate to it? Probably not. Unless I know it's a friend who's needing it and actually makes it easier for me to do that. Meaning I wouldn't go up to Amy and be like, slide him 100 like the maitre d' in movies. Hey, man, slide. I wouldn't hand you some money and be like, oh, no, you're struggling. But if you're like, hey, I'm doing this because I could use a little help, I'd probably help you because out in the open, it's a little easier.
Yeah, no, I get it, too. I'm not going to create one. However, if someone needed to, I see how it could help you get back on your feet. And if your friends, I mean, they have those divorce parties now. So this could be part of that, of like you have the party and you have your little registry and they show up with whatever it is.
No problem with it. May not jump in, but I got no problem with it because you're not forcing it on anybody. Nobody's being wronged.
Yeah.
That's it.
One person said about these sort of things, well, you broke it, you buy it. So.
Okay, well, that person is one of the people on the internet that I hate.
Just don't say anything.
All right?
When it comes to music, they just don't make it like they used to. And this is according to new research. A study looked at how music has changed over the last few decades. And song lyrics have become simpler and more repetitive, with the exception of one artist. One artist is out there using...
Interesting. Adele.
Nope.
Beyonce?
Nope.
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Got it. I would say this article, I don't like it because I think melodies are far more complicated now in a lot of songs. And songs are basically two different things, lyrics and melodies. So the lyrics of a song would be one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, go okay. So that's just the lyrics.
That's a jam.
The melody would be but you could have inserted any words there. It could have been like 7 come 11, throwing them dice, didn't win some money, oh, I feel so nice. So it doesn't matter, right? Whoa. But that's still the melody.
You just make that up.
I hope that's not a song. That's what I saw.
That was good,
it's
dude.
Just like a little rhyme.
So what I would say is, I think melodies have gotten way better. And I think people are smarter at knowing repetition makes you want to repeat listening to the song because you learn it quicker. I would say songs are better written now, but I would say that they're music is almost disposable, which sucks to say because I love music, because you don't have to own it. We just stream it, and if we don't like it, move on. It's quick. Move. So if there's something that really hits, then it's awesome.
And how can you say only one artist is changing?
They said they analyzed over 12,000 songs.
Whatever analyzed means. They probably Googled it.
That's crazy.
All right, what
like, oh, Taylor's so complex. If you want a stronger brain, I'll leave you with this. Learn another language.
Hola.
You got it.
This whole study was done. And people that are bilingual have more cognitive reserve. And okay. I feel like this is my sign to
like
finally do it.
If you want to be smarter, learn calculus. Yeah, no crap. Yeah, learn another language. Yeah,
well,
learn
specifically,
anything.
Whatever you're having to exercise in your brain to learn another language.
Yeah, or learn piano. That's a good one, too.
That's true. Yeah.
All right.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A puppy saved from a house fire in Oregon has been adopted by a firefighter who plans to not only save the dog, but also teach kids the importance of fire safety. This is like the ultimate. You got a firefighter? You got a puppy? You got kids?
Yeah.
The puppy, now named...
Flame.
Smokey. Close.
Oh.
Was rescued about a month ago from a home that burned all the way to the ground. The shelter took in the pup and said that the dog was struggling, especially to be adopted, because a large part of the dog's neck had been burnt. Mm. So people were like, we don't want to adopt the dog until it's healthy. But the firefighter was like, I'll adopt the dog. And you can see, too, like the neck, top of the head, there's some burn on it. It's like a black... like half bulldog, half who knows, but he takes the dog now. And first of all, lots of intensive care, lots of cold baths, medicated,
We used to call it SAB. But they call it salve.
Salve.
Wound management. He did it all. The puppy is now going with him to these classes to teach fire safety.
Smokey.
It's always weird if you change a dog's name, though.
Do they care?
I don't know. I never asked one.
And it has to be weird because they call something for so long.
Yeah,
and
it'd be an adjustment. Like, is he talking to me?
But it's just a sound.
Like, my name is Rex. But that sound of Rex is now Smoker.
Yeah. Smoker.
Okay. That's a great story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
It's now time for 90 seconds of sheer terror where we have to figure out Amy's morning cornies.
Oh, right.
Terror because sometimes we fail and at the end we're like, we're so stupid.
Yeah.
Amy's going to give us as many morning cornies as she can in 90 seconds. How many can we get? The record is...
Six. Ooh, that was a great day.
Okay, we tied it once.
I remember that day.
Do you?
We've done it twice.
Yeah.
Go. The morning corny.
Why do basketball players like cookies?
Why do basketball players like cookies?
Because they had a dunk.
Oh, the dunk.
Dunk.
Dunkaroos.
They dunk.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How much did the pirate pay to get his ears pierced?
Ears pierced. An arm and a leg.
An arm and a leg. How much did a pirate?
He paid
treasure.
Booty. His booty off.
His butt. Booty. He paid his butt.
What is a pirate?
What? Paid a buck.
What? How much did the pirate pay to get his ear pierced?
Two diamonds.
A buck.
A buck.
Wait.
A buccaneer?
A buck, an ear. That's it.
A buccaneer.
Yes.
That's it.
Good bones.
No, that's you.
I didn't do it.
How did the hen...
You said buccaneer.
Just let her go.
How did the hen feel after winning the lottery?
The what?
The hen, H-E-N, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What is it?
The hen?
Chicken? Yeah, woman, rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
How did the hen feel after winning the lottery?
Rich.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Let's go.
Is that it?
Excited.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good, though. Good.
How do lumberjacks know how many trees they've cut down?
Chopped.
They count.
Timber.
Math, calculus, geometry.
Geometry.
No, okay. All right. I thought we were really on
algebra.
How do they know how many trees they've cut down?
They count them.
They count the rings.
They count the logs.
They keep a log.
They keep a log.
That's it. Good job. They keep a log.
Yep, that's it.
Oh.
Why
don't you say
no? What's the difference?
Oh, my God.
We could have gotten another one.
Stalling like crazy.
No, we weren't stalling.
We said they keep a log, and you just sat there and looked at us like we were dumb.
We could have got at least 10.
You're lying.
We only got 4.
Because we were flying, Amy.
And you couldn't stop us. Nothing's going to stop us now. Good job, though.
Yeah.
Solid.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, give me.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The actress Angie Harmon, she had hired Instacart, which is like put a few groceries in, they go to the store, they get it, they bring it to you. She said that the delivery person shot one of her dogs. What, like, did you guys see the story?
No. Yeah.
In an Instagram post, Angie Harmon claimed that the Instacart shopper knew that he was not being recorded before they shot the dog, noting that a Ring security camera was charging inside the home. He said the driver was released by police after claiming that he shot the dog in self-defense. She was on the show Rizzoli and Isles. She disputed that her dog had attacked the driver. He did not have a scratch or bite on him, nor were his pants torn. Well, I don't know if there's no video.
Yeah.
But also, the Instacart dude packing like that, right?
Yeah.
Just pulling it. The driver so far has not been charged. I don't know.
Does it matter that he doesn't have any scratches or tears or anything?
Well, I mean,
it's going to be word against word if there's no proof.
If the dog's not attacking you, you can back away,
but
right?
But the dog could be growling at you about
but
to attack you.
But the dog could also jump
about
on.
To.
Let's just say the dog you can't shoot a dog for growling.
Yeah, exactly. For growling?
But let's say the dog jumps on your chest and knocks you down. There may not be a rip or a tear or a cut or anything.
There's going to be grass stains.
You could push them off. It's on the concrete.
Oh, good
you could
call.
Push them off and shoot them. And then but that is I had to make that story up like crazy.
Yeah.
And what are the odds that the Ring camera is inside charging?
Yeah.
While this is all happening. That stinks. All that is not good. I don't like that for anybody. I don't like it for her. I don't like it for him. I don't think he went and like, can't wait to shoot me a dog.
Right.
Because he might have felt threatened even though he really wasn't. That is a terrible story. I hate that. I hate that. So Morgan's isn't as crazy. I don't even really know. I just know that she had a delivery person. And you think they're lying because why? What did you order?
No, they definitely lied. So I got 2 pairs of jeans was the delivery that was coming.
Okay.
And I got an email from not even the delivery company, but from the company I ordered the jeans. They're like, hey, your jeans couldn't be delivered because apparently I needed a signature for these jeans, which I don't know why. But they said it couldn't be delivered. We attempted to deliver. Nobody was home to make the signature. And I'm like, I looked at the time. I was definitely home when this attempted delivery happened. I was like, I didn't hear a knock on the door. Maybe I just missed it, but I have a doorbell camera. So I go check my doorbell camera. No one was there.
Oh, the camera. Nobody came.
Nobody came. Nobody was there. I didn't even have a delivery.
They go to the wrong house, maybe?
Because then I checked my mail. There was a note in the mail from said delivery said we attempted to deliver in my mailbox.
So what's your theory?
That they didn't even try and walk up to the door to deliver it. They're just like, yeah, never mind. Sign it, put it in the mailbox.
Well, that seems like a lot of effort to sign the paper, put it in the mailbox, and then just go to the door.
It's actually the least amount of effort.
You just drive it to the mailbox and be like, here.
Because they don't even have to attempt, but they can act like they attempted.
Yeah.
And is it like finders keepers where after a while it ends up being theirs if nobody claims it?
Oh.
I think so, because if I don't try to reschedule a delivery or go pick it up by like a certain point, it is just no longer my package.
But is it sent back to the company?
They say it does, but I don't know. Maybe it goes into a little room.
I sent one of my groomsmen a watch.
Oh, that's a tough story.
Yeah. Whenever I was getting married, I sent him, because I got all my groomsmen a watch, and he doesn't live here. It was one of the only ones I couldn't hand it to. So I said, I'm going to mail you this watch. He swears that the delivery driver stole the watch. Swears. Like, confronted him. The guy ran away from him.
Because other neighbors have, like, claimed that he's stolen stuff from them.
So, here's my petition. Only honest people need to be delivery drivers.
Okay.
We can do that. Wait, how do we do that?
No idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes they scare me. They come at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Amazon sometimes will... freak me out because they're pulling up in the house at 11 o'clock.
In cars that aren't labeled.
That aren't marked.
Yeah, right. That's the weird one is when they're not marked.
We're not talking about police cars that are unmarked. It's like, but I do need my Amazon Prime sometimes.
Yeah. And I get it too, though, like, because when I work for the news and like sometimes Bones would text me and be like, hey, let's play golf. And I'd be like, dude, I still got a news story to do. And then I would just call the news desk and be like, man, I went. They just weren't there. And really, I was just going to
say,
like sometimes you're at work and you're
you
just like.
You put the envelope into her mailbox.
I could just tell them that I tried.
No news today. News is canceled. So, Morgan, what will you do? Can you go pick it up at the place or do you have to be around again for the second time?
So, I have to be around again for the second time. And you can't even schedule a specific time. So, I guess we'll see if they actually attempt to deliver this time or not.
Yeah, if you bring up the watch thing to Ahmad.
Oh, yeah, it's not. He's not happy.
He confronted the guy and the guy, like, ran away from him.
Yeah, with camera.
Was there insurance on it or anything?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't even know that he. I just bought him. I think he's got him a new watch, but I don't know if there's insurance.
Wait, the guy ran away? There's no way he got away from Ahmad. Ahmad's too fast.
No. He's still the dude, the delivery guy.
Yeah.
He's still.
Oh, the guy pulled out the camera.
Ahmad pulled out the camera to record him.
And the guy denied it. He's like, he just walked away. No.
He's left, but he's notorious for doing that. Man, that'd be quite the racket. You just steal something occasionally, get a couple big hits.
Yeah, like that's once every 6 months.
Well, because you can't do anything about it either. You can report it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. The Rizzoli and Isles dog stories.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Sad.
Nuts. Luke Combs, Beautiful Crazy. Our challenge to all you delivery drivers out there, be honest today.
Or if you're interviewing a new delivery driver, be like, are you honest?
Do you lie?
Yeah.
And if they write, no, you're a liar. And they cut them immediately.
And if your buddy says, hey, let's play golf and you're at work, say no, buddy.
Play
we can't
golf.
Play golf.
No, no, no. Central Perk, Amy, is what show?
The coffee shop on Friends.
Good. So here's what the game's going to be here. I have trivia questions where the restaurant on the TV show is real.
Okay? So it's
a fake place, but on the TV show, it's the real place.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Amy. Mm-hmm. Los Pollos Hermanos.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, good.
Good job, Amy.
It's a fast food chicken place. Owned by?
Gustavo Fring.
Yeah, Gus. Yeah, hello. Good. Lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
The Peach Pit.
Oh, that's easy.
I think you'll get this one.
Yeah, that's Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
What?
Don't doubt him on that.
No, I didn't know it.
Eddie. The Max.
Saved by the Bell.
Good.
Owned by? Max.
Yeah. Max ends up selling it, though.
Oh, does he? But he's the owner, right?
Only, like, season one, like, way, way early.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because then the other guy who's the magician owned
it. Yeah.
I thought that was Max.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I'm not even sure Max was a guy.
Yeah, I think Max had the
and glasses.
Hair.
Glasses, yeah. Right?
I don't know. We'll look that up.
Okay.
Amy. Krusty Burger.
Dang.
That's Max. That's the guy who I was thinking of. That's literally Max, the magician who do the magic trick.
Yeah. He's the owner.
Oh.
Krusty Burger.
What show is that from?
Krusty Burger. Family Guy.
No, The Simpsons.
Oh, you're so close, Amy.
Whoa, I thought that was
Krusty the Clown.
Yeah. I knew it was a cartoon, but.
Lunchbox.
Yep.
Monk's Cafe.
Monk's Cafe.
Yeah, so on the TV show, on the fake TV show, it's the real restaurant on the TV show.
Dang.
Monk's Cafe.
Monk's Cafe. Could it be? Nah, he ain't gonna own. No, that's not right.
Monk?
Yeah.
Who's Monk?
He's like the guy that has.
No, I was in the same place as you are. Yeah.
The touching, like he doesn't like.
OCD.
That's what it's called. Monk's Cafe. Let's go. There's something called Wings.
Time. Decent girl.
Is it Seinfeld?
It's Seinfeld.
That's tough because it just says
restaurant.
It just says restaurant on the sign.
It's Monk's Cafe. You knew that.
That's tough. Did I didn't know that.
I didn't.
Next one up.
Ugh.
Eddie.
Come on.
McLaren's Pub.
Who hangs out at McLaren's Pub? Okay. I think it's, is this a show? I got it.
You don't have to write it down.
No. King of Queens.
No. Oh, what? Let's watch it.
I don't know.
Is you don't?
I was going to guess How I Met Your Mother.
That's it.
Oh.
Okay.
Is Two Guys and a Girl a show?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
That was way back in the day.
Oh, it was a show?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Two Guys and a Girl. And it was originally Two Guys and a Girl in a pizza shop.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. Okay.
Amy.
Yes?
The Krusty Krab.
SpongeBob.
Good.
Oh.
Lunchbox.
Yep.
Vesuvio.
Come again.
Vesuvio. Vesuvio.
Yeah, I don't need the spelling. Can you use it in a sentence?
The characters ate at Vesuvio.
Oh, that's good.
The Sopranos.
Correct.
How nice. Did you know that?
Context clues.
The characters?
Yep.
Oh, Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good job.
Dang, that's good, dude.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Arnold's Drive-In.
Oh, Happy Days.
Good job.
Wow.
Come on.
That's ridiculous.
You all kind of got ridiculous on that last one. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Okay, so we have four left. We're going to do buzzing with your name.
All right.
Because I don't want there to end up in a tie.
I love this.
The Lanford Lunchbox.
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 Oh, boy.
Roseanne.
Correct. Next up. Luke's Diner.
Eddie. Gilmore Girls.
Correct.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
Was that just something you thought? I mean...
Dude, I just said... I said my name and I didn't have an answer and I just went quick and I got it.
Holy crap.
Wasn't super quick.
But. I know, you're right.
It is Gilmore Girls. Okay, next up. You know what? I'm blowing the whistle on Amy for being a little mean.
No, that was a lot.
For challenging me by going, that's not super quick, that I should have called.
No.
Yellow card.
Challenging you?
Yellow card. I feel very challenged.
She discredited Eddie's statement, I felt like.
I feel very challenged.
Amy, I feel you.
Are you arguing too, Lunchbox?
No, I'm talking to Amy.
He's talking. They're like a weird tag team.
No, we're not.
It's odd. It's odd. This whole. It's odd.
Love is a powerful thing, dude.
It's odd. Okay. Ready up. The Alamo Freeze.
Amy. Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Dang it.
What on earth?
I knew it.
Ty, last one.
Amy, you got that quick.
That's good.
That was good, Amy. That was quick. What's the definition of quick?
It's because I only said it when I knew it, but I do understand the strategy.
Here we go. Good Burger.
Lunchbox. That is Keenan Bill Nickelodeon.
Eddie.
Eddie.
Welcome to Good Burger.
Incorrect.
That's the movie.
That.
Remember, it's a TV show.
Okay.
There is a movie called Good Burger. Welcome to Good Burger. There you go. Uh-huh. We're talking about a TV show. Uh-huh. Good Burger.
Oh, my
God. Amy. That 70s show?
Mm-hmm. It is Kenan and Kel.
Yes, I couldn't. Oh.
That's the show?
No, All That.
Oh.
All That. Kenan and Kel.
A bag of chips.
Welcome to Good Burger.
Welcome to Good Burger. Okay, it's super tiebreaker.
Okay.
Okay.
What do we do here?
Do the same thing.
Everybody writes down something just blind, and whichever show he likes.
That's funny.
Oh.
No.
Come on,
that's
Amy.
A fun version
Let's
of the
try
game.
It.
Is it?
Write down any restaurant you want.
I don't know any.
From any TV show, even ones we talked about. And if we match, you win.
Even ones we talked about?
Yeah, on the list. Let me just write one down.
What would Bobby write down?
I'm in.
Got it. I might get this one.
Okay.
Okay, I have my answer written down. Lunchbox?
Hold on. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Central Park.
Okay, Amy?
The Max.
Eddie?
This is one we already did. Lanford Lunchbox.
Somebody's right. Somebody guessed me.
I was trying to guess something from The Office, but I couldn't think of a restaurant they go to in The Office.
Somebody knows me.
The Max.
And absolutely nailed
The Max.
What I'm thinking. The Max is wrong.
Whoa! It's down to us
It's
two.
Roseanne. It's no. Roseanne.
He did love Roseanne.
He loves Roseanne.
God, the answer is Central Park.
Oh! Oh! What a game! What a game! What a game! No matter
what, what a stupid way to end it. That's fun. Psychic.
Everybody lives go up. And they stay there! And they stay there! Now that was quick.
Nice job, buddy.
Amy, congratulate him.
Yeah, give him.
Good job, babe.
What in the world?
It came out.
Now it makes him feel weird. No, she jumps in on the joke and makes him feel weird.
That's funny. Good job, Amy.
Amy, that's hilarious.
All right, thank you. I hope everybody's good. Let's do the news.
Bobby's Big Stories.
This is nightmare type stuff. 8 cruise passengers were left behind.
Yep, yep.
And have been struggling for days to catch up with the Norwegian Cruise Line ship. They were late getting back to the ship. Privateer boat left them.
But here's the deal. I don't know how this doesn't happen more often. Like, they 100%. give them free rein. Like, all right, be back by 3. Okay, you go to a bar, have a few drinks. Oh, my gosh, it's 3:30.
Yeah.
I've never been on a cruise. What I would do if I run in the boat is be back by 3, but we're not going to like till 4:30. And then if the adults still aren't back, well, you're going to get adulted. We're going to leave. Yeah, like that with Eddie. That's what I used to do with Eddie.
Yeah, yeah, back before. In the day.
Go for a hike or something, and all of a sudden you get, you know, you're in the wilderness. It takes longer to walk back to the. I mean, that's crazy.
You could probably call them and be like, I'm late.
Who do you call?
I don't know. The 1-800-CRUISE.
Yeah, yeah. Caribbean.
The passengers were late getting back to the ship. Quote, while this is a very unfortunate situation, guests are responsible for ensuring they return to the ship at a published time, which is communicated broadly over the ship's intercom. The daily communication was posted, and everybody knew just before exiting the vehicle. Norwegian Cruise Line said the passengers' passports were handed over to local port agents for the guests to collect. Oh, so they're like, yeah, we're leaving. They're not here. Here are their passports.
Yeesh.
You got good.
I mean,
this happened to my brother when he was in New York. He took a bus to New York, and he went back to meet the bus, and they were gone. He was like, I was alone in the city, man. I was scared.
The stranded passengers spent 15 hours traveling through 6 countries to try to rejoin their ship. They're like, wow, trying to catch the boat.
Dang, it got expensive.
But the ship wasn't able to dock due to adverse weather conditions. The Campbells told WPDE that several members of the group are elderly. Another's paraplegic, one's pregnant.
Oh, no.
Not the boat's fault. They didn't know that.
Well, that was sympathy, though. See what they did? They threw that in there so you give them sympathy, and we all fell for it.
Yeah, we're like, oh.
They said another has been out without their heart medication for 5 days.
Oh, man.
Shoot.
Oh, dang, that is.
But then you need to get back to, that sucks. Then you get back to the boat if you know that your heart medication's there. You get back to the boat early.
And the quadriplegic, like.
That sucks. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Get back to the boat. Quadriplegic, no, they went on a cruise. You can live a very healthy life. They're on a cruise, they're obviously having a great time.
It's just
they're
going a little on a harder trip. To get to the boat.
Then you have to take the time needed to get back.
And whoever you're with, like,
what if every time they just didn't wait? And they just were like, we're not going to leave till everybody gets back. And now you're 10 hours in.
Oh, man.
And the trip's run through.
Yeah. Okay, you can't operate that way.
You can't. So don't.
I got a question. How do they keep track of all those people?
Checklist, right?
Scan them.
So when you come in, they have
I don't know. I've never done it. I always thought it was like a bouncer with a little clicker. One in.
Right.
112. 13. All right. I don't know. But probably like a scanner. I would assume they have the technology like an airport to go beep. And then it tells you who's left and boop, who's back in. A man in Alabama was arrested Monday morning after authorities found 176 fentanyl pills hidden in Easter eggs.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, man.
Why?
What?
What are you doing?
Wait, was he trying to transport them that way, or was he trying to get them in the hands of kids?
No, he's transporting them.
Yeah,
so you see Easter eggs, you're like, oh,
what a waste of money.
Just let kids grab them.
Some people are cruel.
Yeah, people are mean.
No, that's, yeah, but that's like you put, no. You'd put it in a little chocolate or something if you're like being mean to hide it. You don't put it, or pill, you just.
Okay.
But what are kids always looking for on Easter?
Not pills.
Easter eggs.
But they don't open it and see pills and be like, our Easter pills are here.
The guy wasn't hiding them through the city. He was just, that way if you get pulled over, it looks like he has a bunch of Easter eggs.
Mom, Dad, you're right. The Easter pills have come.
Or the Easter vitamins.
No. Even that sounds boring. He was pulled over. They found 176 pills inside some Easter eggs, as well as a plastic bag with 1 ounce of spice or synthetic cannabis. That's from AL.com. You know when that's happening, he's like, I'm in so much trouble. And also somebody's so mad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
somebody's
the owner.
Somebody's so mad, and there's not a justice system, but that's somebody.
Nope.
Or there is, but it's not a legal one. A piece of a battery pallet from the space station crashed into somebody's home in Florida.
Oh, my.
Like it fell?
A 2-pound object crashed through a house in Naples. Experts have decided that it was a piece of a battery pallet that was tossed off the International Space Station in 2021. Why are they throwing stuff off?
They just throw it out there.
It's
like a dock. You just
come on, dude. We get golf balls and we're like hit it over that water. Like,
yeah,
can you imagine you're in
space?
But if us three, you, me, and Lunchbox were in space, we'd be like, dude, I bet you can't. Who can throw this further?
Yeah, that's probably true, but that's why we're not in space.
Clarify this for me. Did it take like 3 years to hit the house or what?
The homeowner was on vacation when his son called saying something had crashed through the house and almost hit him. The object will be analyzed by NASA and they'll decide if it is exactly that. It just says it was tossed off the International Space Station. So yes, I'm assuming that's the case. What? Yeah.
Like, wow. It orbits
it's orbiting and then it just decides to.
The space station was.
Well, gravity pulls it in.
Okay, we're not going to start doing physics.
But it takes 3 years for it to pull it down here?
Yeah, dude. Space is
it has to hit the right pocket.
We're not doing physics.
I don't know.
You want to see complaints in my DMs or like, you're so wrong? Do physics. We did money once. And how to like say.
I mean, how many physicians were listening?
Not physicians. No, I mean, physicians.
That's a great point.
This is my point.
How many physicians are listening?
Yes, that's my point. That's why we don't do this.
Okay. I get it.
That's why we don't do this.
Okay, fine.
Are there really a lot of physicists out there, though?
Yes.
Really?
They're definitely not listening.
They're not a lot.
Here.
So they threw this thing off. My assumption is that they felt it would be more of a controlled fall, that it would take longer than 2 years and it would go a little slower.
Oh, they didn't just toss it for fun?
Oh.
I don't know if it's for fun or not, but
why not just put it in your pocket and bring it home with you?
Whoa, this is a big piece.
It's a piece of,
it's
2 pounds.
Not like
a, it's not a AAA battery,
it's
dude.
2 pounds?
Huge.
It's like two water bottles.
Yeah, so I'm saying they can put that on their ship and bring it home.
Their ship?
Well, yes, because someone has to be up there to throw it off so you.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care.
I don't know.
Let's get a local physician on and they can tell us about it. Amy goes, well, no, this will be good. There are lots of physicians out there.
No, I said, how many physicians are listening to our show?
AI virtual travel model makes $20,000 monthly. AI fitness model, which, by the way, AI.
Not real.
Has over 300,000 followers.
People, what are you doing?
People are weird.
Yeah, this is
like,
weird.
People are so weird.
AI-powered girlfriend Lexi Love pulls in $30,000 a month. Different one.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, if you'd like to meet Lily Rain, the AI... Lily Rain is like a...
I'm not even going like to Google
a porn star name.
You really want to, though.
I do.
The AI created digital... Yeah, look up Lily Rain. You have to.
I got to.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Is reportedly making $20,000 a month through a subscription-based FanView platform. FanView shows ladies in various eye-catching locations around the world.
Who is the real Lily? Like, who is that?
No, they created Lily Rain.
I know, like, but whoever's... Somebody's taking the money.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It could be a group of people from Oddity Central.
She's pretty.
No, Eddie...
And she's not real. She's not real.
But if you didn't know she was AI.
She looks real.
And you just logged on Lunchbox, what would you say?
She looks real.
What would you say?
I'm not doing that.
No. I'm just saying, if you just pulled it up and it was like, hey, this is a real person. Look at Lily Rain. What would you say?
That's pretty hot.
She looks like a real person.
She does, man.
That's crazy, dude.
I mean, that is so weird. That's so weird.
He's struggling now. He's figuring out what he's thinking.
Well, I just... The fact that you know she's not real and you subscribe to her, that's the weirdest thing.
She's not real.
She looks real.
That's no, it says here she's a physician.
Oh, so she deals with physics.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I'm like, that was a stupid thing to say.
It's funny. It wasn't even stupid. It was just funny. It was just,
Amy, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, she, I don't know. She looks real.
But let's say that the AI could, if you subscribed it.
But they're going to have to give me more pictures. All we have is her on the slope.
This is just one. Yeah, one.
Somebody.
But she would talk to you in a way, like, and talk about things you want to talk about. You could chat with her.
But she's not real.
I get it.
So where's this going to go? Like, would you like to talk to someone who's awesome, but you'll never meet them? You'll never be able to hang out with them?
That's not my point here is, I think a lot of guys, if they subscribe to OnlyFans, they're never going to meet them. But you don't think they could do this?
I would not want to want
naked with AI.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not real. I don't care. I want to see a real person naked.
But I'm saying, wait, what if you didn't know?
No, that'd be bad.
What if you didn't know and she all of a sudden was like, hey, I'm wearing this for you.
Oh.
You didn't know she was AI. You saw a picture.
That's true. Dang. That sucks.
How do they
Why are you smiling
that?
When you say it sucks?
I'm like, dang, I'm glad I'm not around doing that right now because... What if man, that would suck if you're paying for nudes of an AI. Oh, man, that's embarrassing.
Paying for nudes? Hey, well,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would suck, dude. Like, you're like, dude, you got to subscribe to this OnlyFans account. You're telling your boys, like, dude, I found a hottie. And they're like, dude, that's a computer animated picture. You're like,
the JPEG, bruh.
Fireproof chemicals in your smartphone may quadruple the risk of dying from cancer.
Say that again.
A study suggests fireproof chemicals in your smartphone may quadruple your risk of dying from cancer. Chemicals used to fireproof your phone may be putting you at higher risk of cancer. Polybrominated, I don't know, a lot of words here. PBDEs have been used since the 70s, and they're known for slowing fire from spreading. A lot of phones, they say, in particular, thyroid cancer was the most common. But that's what's up.
But you know what's good, though, is like we all have covers.
Four times more likely to die.
We all don't really touch the phone other than the screen.
You think that doesn't go through your cover?
I wouldn't think so. You're not making contact. Yeah, I got a question. That's just the screen, though.
You think we'll ever have a reversal in society where we go away from carrying a phone everywhere?
No. Yeah. If the world like loses power grid and apocalypse.
Yeah, but that's not voluntarily.
Well, some people are voluntarily.
But way less. But it's such a big deal when someone does it because nobody does it.
Oh. And the phone will turn into a chip or something. Like, we won't have to carry a phone around. It'll just. It's like,
just like tap your temple.
Yeah. I thought you meant like you not do it. Because you don't want to be connected anymore. Like, reverse.
Yeah, like go back to landlines. Like, no, will there ever be a reversal?
No. Not unless it's forced.
Okay.
But I do think there'll be a time, like Eddie says, where your phone isn't so large in your hand.
Because why would you want to carry a phone if you can just...
It can be, like, on your watch. Not an Apple Watch, but somebody rings, boom, you hit a button, and like a screen, hologram screen comes up.
That's cool. Like Star Wars?
Yeah.
That's
when
too
Princess
much.
Leia comes back and talks to... Everyone?
Now you're doing AI. You're doing AI, hottie.
Yeah, because she's dead.
All right, that's it. Thank you. That's the news.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night was our seventh $1 million show. Eddie and I have a group called the Raging Idiots, and we invite friends to come play with us. And they show up, and we play songs and raise a bunch of money for St. Jude. We don't keep any of the money. It's exhausting, but it's worth it when it's over and it's pulled off. And we always bring out surprise guests. And so, you know, some of the I have friends that I can call on if I'm like, hey, I need you so I can build this show around you. Meaning, if I get
John Party, who is a close friend, or I can call Sam Hunt, and be like, do you mind playing this show? Because people are going to love it. And then also other artists will go, oh, John and Sam are playing. We're happy to play if they've never heard of the show. Yeah. We need those artists to build around. And so that's what happened with John and Sam and Megan Maroney. And I was so grateful that they said yes. And so Matt Carney and Ben Rector and all these artists show, and it's amazing. But we always have two or three surprise guests for different reasons. And we had Turnpike Troubadours in studio, and it's my wife's favorite band. And I listen to them all the time now because of her, but it's, you know, Good Lord Lori.
Good Lord Lori,
I love you, no more wrong.
So good.
So they came out and played full band, which was super cool. And then Lit showed up and played. And the crowd, it's like there was a human explosion in the Ryman. Because that intro lick hits, that goes dun 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 dun, and then he comes out and the first letters are can you? My voice is a little dead.
Was it? Can you forget about the things I said when I was drunk? I didn't mean to call you that. Dun dun.
The place was going bonkers because that song is so big, and those guys come out and they're rock stars. They look like
they did in the 90s.
They got. Yeah, they're not even 90s. They're 2000s.
2000s, okay, yeah. You're right.
So where they're like, holy crap. So after that, Edwin McCain, who was super nice to come out. I've only got to know Edwin McCain in the past 4 or 5 years, but he has, you know, I'll be your crying shoulder. Morgan, number one, and Tom, my manager, because Morgan's my manager too, they have been working so hard on getting our secret special guest. So hard. Even 4 days before the show, it was like, I don't know, it's 50-50. So I don't want to jinx it. So I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want to get Eddie's hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to get mine. And the only reason I even had to know is because just in case. I didn't want to know. And I didn't ask. I never asked. Is it good? Is it good? Is it good? So as soon as they were like, I think it's 75%, I went to Eddie immediately. I said, okay, here's the thing. They say 75%. That's probably like 25%. I was even like...
And I was still like, okay, well, I guess that's... Right. Bobby doesn't really look hopeful right now, so I don't know.
I wonder why I ever look hopeful.
I feel like even if it was 99.9, yeah. Bobby'd be like, it's probably that 0.1%. Right.
So the day before, they're like, it's 90%. And I'm like, I still don't believe it. Because artists this big, they're so big, they could just go, I don't want to do this. And nobody even questions it because they're so big. And then that morning, it turns into 99% because... We have a big security meeting at the Ryman because there are so many artists coming in and out. It's not like security has to watch one artist. It's transitions of teams and people going in and out. So this artist, his people went to the security meeting. And we're like, it's 99%. But the show starts. And I haven't said who it is yet. The show starts. And it's not written anywhere because we don't want anybody to even backstage to accidentally see it and post it. Because again, we don't want to ruin it too. I didn't know. I didn't know this person. I didn't know if he was going to show up or not. And so I'm thinking he's going to walk in like 5 minutes before. Then there'll be a delay. No, he got there 45 minutes early. So I'm told with about 5 or 6 songs left, hey, this secret special artist is here. And I'm like, already? They're like, yeah. He's in the back just practicing because you know he wants to do a cover when he comes out. And I was like, that's awesome. Now, I'm in the middle of... hosting it, but also we're playing songs. So I don't even have time to go say hi or really introduce myself. Turnpike Troubadours, when they come out, they do full band and we walk off the stage. For 3 minutes, I went back to his dressing room and I was like, hey man, thank you so much. And I didn't want, there were a bunch of people were blocking his door, muscle men. I already felt like I was in the way, but I did not feel like that once I was in there. He was so nice. He was like, what's up? Because this is so cool. He's been watching the show on the feed in there. He was like, thank you so much. I'm going to change up the song I'm going to do because I love playing at the Ryman. We talked for a few minutes and I didn't want to leave, but I had to go. I was like, I hate to stop this conversation, but I got to go back on stage because we were playing with John Party. So we walk out and they get in my ear and they're like, hey, there's a guitar problem with the person. Hold on. Can you stall for just a minute? So the whole band's off stage. It's just me. And I'm like, okay, stall. And then I'm thinking, he ain't coming out. They just got me. Guitar problem. I knew it'd be something. And so then finally they're like, it's all clear. And I was like, really? They go, yeah. And I didn't do a big like, here he is.
very subdued. I just said, I'm super grateful. Here is our surprise artist tonight, Post Malone. Super kind, plays a Hank Sr. song first up. It was awesome. So I didn't know really in person how good of a singer he would be, but he was practicing when I went back there. No, he's good. He's really good. He's a really good singer. He's just a good singer.
Like even just in his dressing room with him.
He was sitting on the toilet, lid down.
Oh,
really?
In the bathroom where the acoustics were good. It was him and Ernest, and they were running through the song.
Really?
Yeah, and I know Ernest.
I didn't even know Ernest was there.
Yeah, he was there. And so I was like, I didn't say it, but I was like, dang, he's good. So he comes out, and he plays the first song, and then he plays his new single, and the crowd's going insane. And then I'm like, thank you, everybody. And everybody's just shocked that Post Malone just showed up and played a couple songs. And so I have to go do a couple interviews right afterward. I have a couple St. Jude things I get to right after the show and sign some stuff. But I look back and Post Malone has not left the stage and he's down talking to people at the stage. He probably sat there for 25 minutes.
Easy.
And just talked to people that were watching the show. Mm-hmm. Just bent down in the front of the stage talking to people.
I've never seen anyone do that.
I've never seen anybody do that.
Mm-mm.
That's like not me.
Right.
And I'm just like, I hope you're not disappointed with buying the ticket to my show. That's always what I do at the end of shows.
And he didn't go down the front and just give everyone high fives.
He was like talking to people.
To everyone that stayed.
It was wild.
He laid down on the stage to take pictures with people. Like it was wild.
Crazy.
What a night.
No, then what's crazy is he left.
Yeah.
And he stayed in the alley behind the venue for 30 minutes taking pictures with people.
He did.
Just standing out there in the alley behind the bars and between the Ryman and Tootsie's. He was just in the alley with the trash, the dumpsters, taking pictures with people.
I would have never believed. I would have not believed. It wasn't that I'm like, there's no way he's like this. But he's so famous that usually doesn't happen because it creates something a bit bigger where then it becomes like a mob. But he sat there and everybody that wanted to talk or say hi, he did. One of the biggest stars in music right now, period. And also, it more now than ever, especially after watching him practice that in the back and hearing him sing, like that, he's like a Texas dude who loves country music.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a gimmick thing. It's not. I mean, it's not even a thing. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't need to do that. You can tell that he finally gets to do it, where he's finally big enough to do whatever he wants to do. And he's like, I now want to do this project because this is like a passion for me.
And it's not like he like said, I'm going to do a Hank Williams song. I'm going to learn it real quick. Like he knew all the words.
And he brought us. Then what happened was why there was a bit of a delay was he was like, I want this to sound really good. So they called in a second guitar player really quick. I think it was Ernest's guy.
Okay.
So that's what took the extra few minutes.
To, like,
that's why they were
there?
Practicing. Yeah. No, to get up there. Oh. Post Malone was awesome. And he also, I'm going to, again, be as honest as I can here. He smelled pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like
surprisingly.
What? Cologne?
I don't know if it was cologne. I just thought he would smell like tattoos.
Some beer and smoke?
Just, you know, what tattoos smell. I don't know. No, he smelled pretty good.
Wow, okay.
And so he went up to Caitlin and was side stage like 30 minutes before and was just hanging out, talking with her. And he left to walk to talk to somebody else. And Caitlin was like, Post Malone just came up and he knows he didn't know me. And I think he knows he doesn't know the person he's talking to over there now. But like, he was just hanging out talking with folks.
That's so cool.
It was a wild show last night. There were so many cool things I will at some point in my mind be able to remember and go through. But Sam and John and Megan Maroney, like they were really the pillars that allowed us to build that show around them this year.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for that. But
Ian Munsick is awesome.
Post Malone showed up and just, it was wild. I don't even know what else to say. And it was even more wild. He stayed and just hung out with everybody.
Another crazy thing he did, when he left in the car, he just rolled down the window and went rolling down the street with the window down. I'm like, Post Malone, you might want to roll your window up. But he just had his head out the window saying hi to people as he's driving. And I'm like, dude, roll the window up.
One of the most famous people in music, period,
awesome.
In the whole world right
wow.
now. So, and the secret was able to be kept, which never happens. So, that's all. And I don't even know if you guys got to meet him at all, because I only talked to him for that one brief time and had to get back. And then I hugged him a couple times on stage and was able to say, hey, really, thank you. And he was like, are you kidding? Let's do it again. I'm like, well, we don't do it again for another year.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Well, what about Mike D?
Mike D, did you get to meet him at all?
Oh, boy.
Idol.
Oh, boy.
I was anticipating it the whole night. I saw him walk in when he first got there.
Yeah.
And, like, my body, like, just left me.
Did you not? Could you have said hello?
I could have, but I was like, I'm just going to soak in the moment. Not a good time to stop him.
Okay. And so
Then he goes to the back.
Yeah, he's there the whole time.
Okay, true. And there really was nobody. His people were muscular.
Big dudes.
Outside the door.
Yeah, and then they came out when he was about to go on and kind of cleared the area. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're going to get pushed out of here. I'm not going to get to meet him.
Did you get pushed out?
No, we stayed there. We stood our ground.
Yeah, I feel like nobody really got put. I think his lane, his people know to clear lane. But then he's like, no, it's okay. Don't you have to clear it.
Wait, so Mike didn't?
Did you not meet him at all?
Nothing.
And then I thought they were going to like cart him off right when he left. But when I saw he was going and meeting everybody, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to come back this way. Yeah. We hung out there where his people were. And then when he came back, I met him.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
yes.
Awesome. Did you touch him?
I did. I shook his hand. I told him I was a huge fan. He said, thank you so much. I was like, can we take a picture?
Oh, you got a picture too?
And I got a picture. I'm at a post right
awesome.
Now.
That's yeah. great.
That's the
Mike.
One thing I was wondering because I was wondering, did Mike meet him? But I didn't have time to even do anything.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, it's a great show. If you came last night, that's awesome. If you didn't come, it doesn't matter. Just know it's fun to hear other people talk about things you didn't go to.
Yeah. And Mike also, he was drinking a beer. Mike got the beer can.
Oh, Mike wasn't drinking a beer.
No.
You got Post Malone's Bud Light beer can?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's funny. And weird, but more funny.
No. But how awesome is that? He has it on display at his house.
What if Mike was drinking his coffee out of it today?
He cut the top, and every morning he drinks out of it. Here's a voicemail we got last night, number one.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw Post Malone. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. I bet he is so nice. He sure seems to be. Oh, way to go, Bobby Bones, getting Post Malone. Way to go, dude.
Thanks.
Way to go, man.
That's pretty cool. Here's number two.
Hey, Bobby, I'm not going to leave my name because I called out of work last night to go see your $1 million show, and I just want to say that it was totally worth calling out of work for. Highly recommend for anybody who's never got the chance to go to a $1 million show. If you ever do, go. This is my second year in a row going, and both years I've had to call out of work to go, and each time it was totally worth it. Thank you for the great night, Bobby.
Thanks. Thanks to everybody who came, raised a bunch of money for St. Jude. But she did wanted to be anonymous, but I wanted to change my voice a little
bit.
Yeah.
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 Really nice.
I am not supposed to be going.
We had some people that bid and bought the tickets on Charity Bus, 4 front row seats, and they drove in from St. Louis. And I was like, they can't just come to the show. I wanted to meet them. They come and hung out in the dressing room before with me. And the woman who won was super nice, and she had one of her friends. Her friend's son is the starting goalie for Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Joseph Wool.
You told me that, and I was like, I don't believe you. And then she told me. I'm like, okay, I believe her.
And so I messaged him. She was like, he's super nice, went to Boston College. He's the starting goalie. And so I messaged him on Instagram, and I was like, One single message said, hey, I'm with your mom.
Oh, my gosh.
He wasn't lying, though.
I wasn't lying. I was with his mom.
What did he say?
Nothing. He didn't respond.
He's on kick your...
Yeah, he didn't respond. No, he didn't respond at all there. One more voicemail. Ray, hit this one right here.
I was just wondering if you, Bobby Bones, and or the Raging Idiots were planning on going on a tour either this summer or this fall. My husband asked me what I would like for my 30th birthday. And that is definitely what I want, except for it wouldn't happen unless you guys are actually going on tour. So just wondering if you could announce that, or should I think of something else for my birthday?
Sadly, you have to think of something else.
So for her birthday, she wants us to go on tour?
Yeah, she needs to come to our house.
Okay.
For a birthday present, we'll just play for her.
You can do that.
Yeah. We will save this for the end of the show to talk about it. Thank you all for coming. We did break out Jesus Knows last night.
It's been a bit.
Chris Tomlin loved it. He may cover it at his shows. It's the Raging Idiots Christian song. We should put this on Christian radio.
Oh, yeah.
We just wrote it from our hearts. It wasn't about a genre.
Yeah, of course.
You mean like Way FM?
Yeah, like
sure.
Like K-Light, K-Love.
The Fish.
And they're like, thank you. That was a song from Michael W. Smith. And now let's get to a song about what Jesus knows from the Raging Idiots.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Akron, Pennsylvania. A 28-year-old man's the landlord of an apartment, and he rents it out to some tenants. Well, they broke the washer and dryer. And instead of, you know, saying, hey, why don't you pay for it, you know, he gets mad, and he sets their apartment on fire.
His apartment on fire.
Well, if he's just the landlord, he may not own it.
Oh, that's true. I thought they owned it.
No, sometimes you hire a landlord to run a place.
I thought it was a super.
Well, superintendent could also be somebody who just runs it.
You call super Supa?
I think she watched a New York.
Friends. Yeah.
Supa.
Yeah, that's what it would be. A New York accent show. Yeah. So it must have been some sort of disrespect more than the actual not getting the money.
Yeah, he took a piece of cardboard, lit it on fire, and threw it in the apartment.
Mm. Oh, boy.
He'll show them by cutting off his nose to spite his face. Okay, thank you.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Check out Four Things with Amy Brown. It's her podcast. It's her award-winning. Has it won awards?
No.
I give it one now.
Thank you.
My favorite podcast with a numeral in it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is it good?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. One of the things that you talked about was so interesting to me. What are the four things?
Today's
show.
The episode is called Don't Call It a Comeback. You know what that's from?
Yeah, LL Cool J song.
Yeah. Because...
it's a tornado.
My guest today is Camille Alston.
Got it, Camille.
And so she was on last year, and literally right after the episode aired, the tornado hit her warehouse.
Yeah.
And everything she had, built and what she was going through, I mean, just all her inventory was just gone, and she had to pivot a little bit. So she came back on to talk about what they've done to rebuild. So it's about hope and resilience, because there's more to it than just her business. And I think it's just encouragement to anybody that's facing any type of adversity.
We know her too, because she pivoted her career.
Exactly.
She used to be Brett Eldridge's manager.
And Kelsey Ballerini.
Yeah.
So she talks about that too, and just kind of chasing your dreams and how being a small business owner isn't always what it's cracked up to be, but that there's also so many cool rewards too.
Amen. I got an eBay store right now, and I'm telling you guys, you don't know what that's like.
Is that your new small business?
It sucks.
Yeah.
Because first of all, everybody's trying to get one over on you, trying to send you offers that suck. And then secondly, eBay takes like a ton. I don't even know the percentage they take. Sometimes I think let's say I sell it for $10 and eBay takes 12. And I'm like, well, no, you took two more than I even got. Like I lost $2 in it and the product.
Oh man.
I don't think that's how it goes really. Sometimes it feels like that. So I feel her. Mm-hmm. She got hit by a tornado. I have memorabilia on eBay that's getting that's taxed.
Same thing, man.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about quitting and doing OnlyFans.
Really?
Yeah, it's just such a...
Dude, you make some good
money on
that. You
probably do well over there, actually.
I don't even know what people would want to see from me.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Check out Four Things with Amy Brown. Goodbye tomorrow. We'll be here. Bye.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis,
mm-hmm.
back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro. That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.